Well, this morning I'd like you to head back with me in your Bibles to the letter of Jude. The letter of Jude. We're getting close to the end of this letter, and I hope it's been a challenge to you as well as an encouragement to you. We've been learning here recently about how to identify those in the church who are false members and false teachers within it. In fact, in verse 4, we met these false teachers. He first warns us about them, and he says there are certain men crept in unawares. And if that was taking place back then, imagine what it is like today, and how many have infiltrated the true church of Jesus Christ and are trying to sow the seeds of discord and sow the seeds of false doctrine in order to lead, if it were possible, the very elect astray. And so, even though they have crept in unawares, Jude wants us to be aware of who these people are and what they might be like, so we can continue our responsibility and our work that he gives us there in verse 3. This is the theme for the whole letter, where we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He does not want us to fall for the traps of these false members, these false teachers, these apostates. So how can we be aware of them? How can we earnestly contend for the faith? Well, we need to be on the lookout for some things. I remember as a boy, we would build forts with people in our neighborhood and certainly our family too, and we would always have someone to be the lookout, to look out for the dangers of some other competing fort that might try to destroy our fort. And so you're always on the lookout to see who was coming and who might do some damage to our fort. Well, we need to be on the lookout for the types of people that Jude describes for us, and really we've looked at quite a bit of this already in the book of Jude. We need to be on the lookout for their character. And some of the character traits of these false teachers and false members are the traits of unbelief, just like the children of Israel in the wilderness, and also for their rebellion, just like the fallen angels who rebelled against the Lord that he described. We need to be on the lookout for their character. We need to be on the lookout for their conduct as well, and especially the immoral behavior, and basically saying anything goes because you are covered by the grace of God, they would say. And so we've got to look out for their immoral conduct and other sins. And remember that Jesus told us in Matthew 7:20 that it's by their fruits that ye shall know them. By their spiritual fruits or lack thereof. And then last week we actually summed up this description of these false teachers and false members and learned of their conclusion. We actually saw what their end was going to be, and ultimately they will receive the just judgment of God at the great white throne judgment. And if you remember, we saw that last week where the Lord is going to come, in verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince or to convict all those who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds. And so this is how we are to identify them. This is how we are to learn about who they are and what they're like. And God really has been warning all of us about his final coming in judgment. And he's been doing this since even before the flood. Remember the testimony, the prophecy of Enoch that we looked at last Sunday. But you know, there's a lot of people, perhaps even in this church, that think the judgment of God, this great white throne judgment, it's just so far off. It's not something that we can tangibly realize. It's not something that we often think about. And Peter even describes what people say about the judgment of God. In 2 Peter 3:4, this is a question a lot of people might ask. Maybe this has been on your mind or in your heart. The question is this: where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, maybe not in those exact words, but have you heard people say that? Well, how can we know that the Lord is coming? Because he hasn't come back yet. And if the disciples of Christ and the apostles were thinking that Jesus would come back soon, well, it's been 2,000 years, and things just continue on the way they always have been. He's not going to come back. There is no promise of his coming. There is no ultimate judgment of God. So why even worry about things like that? I'm going to worry about the things that make my life pleasant and my life easier. I mean, after all, if there is, we have plenty of time to figure things out, to work things out, and to get things right. Well, here in our text for this morning, Jude addresses that attitude as well. in verses 17 through 19, where he tells us as true believers that it is the last time. Even though it may seem like the judgment is far, far off in the future, even though it may seem like things just continue on as they always have been, it is the last time. Verse 17, Jude says, "But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers when in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." This morning we need to remember that it is the last time. And even though it may seem like the judgment is so far in the future, even though it may seem like thousands of years has passed, it is the last time. And the return of the Lord to judge us all is coming and will come sooner than you think. Yet how often do we live our lives the way Peter described, thinking that all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation? Jude here wants us to know without any doubt in our mind, even as Christians, that it is the last time. It is the end time. Now, I know sometimes we see pictures or videos of people at demonstrations, and they have these great big signs, and it says the apocalypse is coming, or the end of times is here, and of course they usually have this hippie hairstyle, and they wear these robes, and people think that they're crazy. But you know what? The message is true, even though they may be crazy. The message is true that the end is near, and we are, in fact, living in the last times. Now, last week, we were warned to be ready for the day of God's final judgment. Well, this morning, we are being taught that we need to be watching and looking for the coming of the Lord. Again, just as Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:12, we need to be looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. So instead of living our lives as if everything is continuing as it always has, we need to be living our lives looking for this coming of the Lord. Because it's going to come sooner than we think. Sooner than you could ever imagine. It is, in fact, the last time. So let's look at what Jude wants us to know about this last time in these verses together. The first thing that we realize is that he gives us, right off the top, the solution for the time in which we live. The solution for the last time. The last time, as we look at all throughout the New Testament, is a time that will be filled with turmoil and upheaval. In fact, we see it going on right now in the world, don't we? We hear of wars and rumors of wars. We see turmoil in the Middle East, but not just there. We see it in Africa. We see it in Asia. And it's going to keep getting worse and worse, and it will even infiltrate the church more and more. And so we need to be ready for this. In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:1 that in the last days, referring to the same period of time that Jude is describing here, in the last days, perilous times will come. That's not a pleasant thing. That is turmoil. That is upheaval. It is a perilous time. So how can Christians be ready to live during this difficult time? Well, Jude addresses that here in verse 17. We are told to remember something. You may hear about false teachers. You may see them in your churches. You may experience the turmoil and the upheaval in this world. And he says, but beloved, this is for you as Christians, as genuine believers in Christ. Remember something. Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he describes what some of those words were in verse 18. But here in verse 17, Jude is telling us that in times of turmoil, in times of upheaval, and in these perilous times that we live in, his solution is for us to remember the words of our Lord as given to us by his apostles. Isn't that a wonderful truth for us? The solution for us when we think that things are just falling apart. Yet he has a solution for us in the Word of God. That is one of the reasons why we stress opening up your Bibles every single day and reading and studying and even memorizing it. The Take 20 is a Bible plan, and certainly we encourage you to use it, but it is just a plan to get you in the Word of God. Because the Word of God gives us the solution for the turmoil and the upheavals in which we face in this life and in this world. The great solution for us to live through this last time in which we are is the Word of God. And really, it's what the Word of God is all about. The living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ and His Gospel. So what do we need to remember about the Word of the Apostles here? Well, we need to remember that, first of all, the Word of God is clear. It's clear. Because it can help remove so much of the confusion of the times in which we live. Now, if you were like me on Thursday night, you probably sat in front of your television and watched the Republican candidates debate. I was enough of a geek, I guess, to watch the children's table, the kids' table, as they called it, as well as the main primetime event of the debate. Now, there were a lot of gotcha questions that the moderators were asking the candidates, but there were a lot of also substantive questions that dealt with some of the major issues of our time that our nation is facing. And we have to realize that we live in a very complex time. We live in a very complex world with complex problems, and we need to have a candidate that will be able to address those and a president that has the wisdom from above to address those needs. But even when everything else in the world seems like it's just going topsy-turvy, there's one place that you and I can go and resort to find something and remember some things that bring clarity to that confusion. And that is the Word of God. We are to remember, he says, the words that were spoken before. Here Jude has been describing all of the things that are going to happen in the last days with these apostates, and he says, it's something that's been written about already for you. These things that will take place did not take God by surprise. It is something that he has recorded for you so that you can be comforted and realize, hey, God's in control of these things. Everything is known by the Lord, everything is observed by the Lord, and everything is controlled by the Lord. And whenever a prophecy is given in God's Word, it is something that will be fulfilled. So you don't have to be worried about it. You don't have to be anxious about it. You don't have to be surprised by what you see going on in the world and in the church today. And even more, you don't have to be overwhelmed. Just go to the Word of God, because He will make clear to you the things that in this life seem so confusing. You see, in John 16:33, Jesus Himself said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, and that is something that believers will have to go through, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, there is trial and tribulation in this life, and things aren't going to improve for believers. They are probably going to get worse and worse and worse, but he says, you can still have peace in your heart. Not the peace that the world gives, but a peace that passes all understanding. And you don't even have to be sad and melancholy about these things. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And the more you dig into the Word of God, the more you're going to see that there's clarity in the midst of this confusion. Remember that the Word of God is clear. But you also need to remember that the Word of God is consistent. Consistent. The last time that is mentioned here by Jude hasn't just been mentioned by him. It's been spoken about by the apostles and even by the Lord himself. You see, it was a very common theme back in the early church, and unfortunately it's not as common of a theme in our churches today. But think of some of the apostles that are well known to you, like the apostle Peter. The apostle Peter spoke of the last day in 2 Peter chapter 3. In fact, 2 Peter has a lot of parallels to the letter of Jude. But keep your finger here in Jude 17 and let's look at what these apostles of Christ said. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and let's read what he says about the last days in verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter 3, 1. Peter writes, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Some similar themes there from Jude. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. So it's not just the apostles that talked about this, but even the prophets before them. And of the commandment of us, of the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, the same time period that Jude's talking about, in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And that is what we see in this life right now. People are living thinking there is no judgment to come. They live their life their own way for their own reasons, and they are careless of the things of God. And the Apostle Peter spoke of what it's going to be like in the last time. Another apostle, prominent apostle, is the Apostle John. If you go back just a few pages to 1 John chapter 2, he also speaks of the last time in verses 18 and 19. Now, there are other passages. So these are just a few that I want to highlight. But in 1 John chapter 2, 18, John says, little children, it is the last time. It is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. John says, it is the last time. And some of the characteristics of the last time are that there will be antichrist, not the main antichrist, that's coming, but there are antichrists in this world, and that's how we know that this is the last time. There are people that are opposing Christ and Christianity and his truth in the gospel. It is the last time. And of course, one of the prominent themes of the Apostle Paul was also the last time, the last days. Again, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, before we head back to Jude. And Paul wanted to warn Timothy of what this time would be like as well. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, where he says, this know also, Timothy, and of course to us also, this know also, that in the last days, same period of time as Peter and John and Jude, in the last days, perilous times shall come for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Do we see that? Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Again, these are the apostles that spoke of the end time, the last time that Jude described. So head back to Jude, verse 17. Again, he says, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those apostles believed that it was close to the end. And if they believed that it was close to the end back then, think how much closer to the end we must be now. It's a time period. And as soon as the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, it brought in this time period of the end. And we are so much closer to that end than they ever were. We must keep our minds filled with and fixed upon the message of God's Word, because that is what will keep things clear in the time of confusion. And we must remember that things are not going to get better during this period of time. In fact, as he's writing to Timothy there in 2 Timothy 3, in verse 13 he says to Timothy, but evil men and seducers, Those are those men who have crept in unawares that Jude describes for us. And he says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, that can cause some anxiety. That can cause some stress. That can cause some concern and worry. But when it comes to this word that we are to remember, we must remember that we do not need to fear. We do not need to be anxious or worried, because not only is the Word of God clarifying and consistent, but the Word of God is also comforting. It's comforting. Paul writes it this way in Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things were written before, aforetime, were written for our learning, so that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So do you realize why Jude and Paul and Peter and John tell us about the end times? It's not to get us worried and overwhelmed. It's so that we can be comforted, not in the time in which we live, but in the Christ who we have as our Savior. He says, remember ye the words which were spoke before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not to get us to fear, but to give us greater faith. You see, the apostles are simply sharing with us the message that they received from Jesus himself. And no matter what we see or what we face during the last time, we know that it is in preparation for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you don't have to worry. And the more we learn from Scripture, the more we look for the Lord. And really, that's the desire. That's our quest when we explore the Bible, is what is it going to tell us about the Lord? What is it going to tell us about His coming? What is it going to tell us about His love for us? And the more we dig into the Word, the more we learn about Him, and the more comfort and hope we can have in times like these. If you take Jude 17, and don't continue on to verse 18, because really they are a context, they are a whole. But if you just look at verse 17 and you read that verse, in and of itself, it can apply to so many of life's overwhelming concerns and circumstances. Can it? Look at it again. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what you're going through, remember the words that you have in the Bible. Go there for comfort and strength and help. Now, specifically, it's dealing with the end times, the last time. But in times of other turmoil as well, don't just remember the words of the Lord. Rely on them, trust in them, grow in them. Especially as we are going to continue, as the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We must remember that it is the last time. It is the last time. And the solution is the Word of God. And who the Word of God points us to, the living Word, the Lord Jesus. So keep trusting in Him. But we can also learn from Jude, verse 18, the significance of this time. The significance of this time. Again, here in verse 18, Jude gives us the specific message of the apostles, which we just read. Peter and John and Paul. What do they say? What do they give us? Verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Again, the last time. It's a major theme of the messages of the apostles. The period that began when Jesus left and will end when He comes and the final judgment is given. Now, the apostles were in this period of time. And so are we. They were at the beginning, we are very close to the end, but this one simple phrase, the last time, reminds us something about God. That one simple phrase reminds us that God has a mission going on in this world. How do we know this? Well, because this simple phrase reveals the progress of God's mission. If it's the last time, it sort of implies that there had to be a beginning of time. And there's been a process, a progress going on between them. In fact, all time is in service to God to accomplish His plan in time. Now, we know that there was a beginning in time when God created this world and universe and set it in motion. Genesis 1:5, very, very beginning, after He created light, The evening and the morning were the first day. God created time. That was the beginning of it. That was the beginning of it. And everything that has happened since then hasn't taken God by surprise. Even Adam and Eve's failure and sin and revolt against God, it was all something that was included in His plan, His eternal plan. In fact, God already had a way to redeem man, a way to solve their sin problem. Because in Galatians 4, it says that there was a fullness of the time. Remember Galatians 4:4? When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, Jesus, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So here we have the beginning of time, which leads us now to the very pinnacle of time. Do you realize that God is the greatest author there has ever been? How many people like to write novels and stories and books? And if you ever go through a class to learn how to write things or even look at literature, you have the beginning where they kind of set the stage. You have the great climax. And then you have the time where they kind of wrap things up, don't they? The great climax in God's story of time is the fullness of time where Jesus Christ came to redeem us from our sin. That was the fullness of time. And now, just like at the end of a good story, there's the last time in which God will wrap everything up. And that is the time in which we now live. You see, God's mission in this world, God's mission with this world, continues its progress. It marches on. And this end has been going on for about 2,000 years. We're getting closer and closer and closer to its final end. But it continues to progress. And just like most of you have told me, a decade ago, I'm experiencing it more and more. The older you get, the faster time seems to go. Doesn't it? There's truth to that adage. So imagine how fast time must go for the Lord, who is the Ancient of Days. The Bible says 1,000 years is like a day to Him, and a day like 1,000 years. The beginning, the fullness, the end to Him are all like one. And it's going to get faster and faster from our own perspective as well. It continues to progress. And the end in which we live will finally come to an end. But we also see that during this time, there is to be a preparation for God's mission. So the question is this: are you ready for the completion of God's mission for this world? Are you ready for it? How can you be? Peter says this, 1 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, that's going to happen at the end. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He really brings it back to application in our lives as believers. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So how are we to live, knowing that we are near the end of the end? We're to live in holiness, and we're to live in hope. Keep looking for Jesus. Don't ever live your life. Don't ever take a day and think that, hey, this can't be the day, because everything continues on just the way it always has. Don't ever think that. We must know, seeing all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be, living in hope and holiness. Do not live your life as if all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Do not live that way. Too often, Christians live the same way as the world does. We have the same things in our mind, and it just kind of shows itself in our life throughout the day. No, it is the last time. And the last time is rapidly drawing to its close. We're getting very close to the end of the book where it will say, the end. It is the last time. But do you realize it's not just the time of our life? This can also be applied to the time of your life. We may not live until the day of His coming. But there will come a day where we meet our God. And we know from James that our life is like a vapor. It appears for a moment and then vanishes away. So even if we're not alive at the Lord's return, we will be called up to account and meet Him someday face to face. We will die if He does not come before then. So we must live our lives the way Paul lived his life. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It is the last time. And really, to help us further understand this truth, Jude then gives us in verses 18 and 19 the signs of the time. How do you know it's the last time, Jude? Everything continues on the way it's always been. How are we going to know? Well, he gives us some signs. Now, signs are very helpful if you're going somewhere to show you where you're going and how much further you have. We loved our vacation in Colorado, but we drove, and it was a long trip. When we were going there, we were excited, and the trip really seemed a lot shorter. But on the way back, and especially on the way back, because we drove it straight through, it was a very long trip. And I kept looking. I kept looking for the very first sign that would indicate, hey, we're getting a little bit closer. And I think the first sign that said Indianapolis was like 300 miles away. I think it might have been in Missouri. And even though it was still 300 miles away, and I'm calculating, let's see, 60 miles an hour. Okay, 75 miles an hour. That's 4 hours. That's still 4 hours away. But you know what? There was a glimpse of hope. There's a glimpse of hope, even though it's getting dark, and even though I'm getting tired, and I know that I'm going to have to, you know, keep awake. It's getting closer. Signs are helpful to know where we're getting, and it's going to show us where home is. What are the signs of our last times? These aren't just signs to show, hey, let's get overwhelmed by these things. No, these are signs to indicate that the end is approaching and that our time of departure is at hand and that Jesus is coming for us and we'll see Him. What are some of those signs that will help us along until the Lord takes us home? Again, what happens is not a surprise to the Lord. Look at verse 18. There should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. That's the description of what the apostles taught. And then Jude applies it to the current day. This is what's going on in your churches. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So here's a final description of these false teachers, these false members that will be in the church. They are really known as apostates. They have turned their back on the truth of the gospel. And their very presence is a sign of the time, that it is the last time. We see the demeanor of the apostates there in verse 18. He calls them mockers. Now, we often think of a mocker as someone who mocks people with their words. They make fun of somebody with their words. But this word for mocker actually describes someone mocking with their life. It comes from a word that was used to describe children at play. And you know how sometimes children, they may not just, say words, they may act things out. They may want to play house, and one plays like a mother, the other like a father. They play like a doctor, and they, you know, get the stethoscope, and they have the mask. And so they mock, if you will, those jobs. Of course, they're doing it innocently and in fun. But it's not just their words, it's their life. And it describes here someone who does not take the Lord seriously in their life. They play with the Lord. This word mock is not used very often in the epistles, but it's used very frequently of what people did to Jesus back in the Gospels. Remember what the soldiers did with Jesus as they were getting him ready to be crucified? It says they mocked him. It wasn't just with their words. It wasn't what they did. They put the robe on. They put the crown on. They gave him a reed and they said, "Oh, hail!" They were pretending like he was their king, and in fact, he was not their king. That's what it means to mock. It means to play with Christ and say, "Oh, I'm just going to play like I'm a godly person." And in fact, it's not real in your heart and your life. And this is a sign of the time. So how do they mock? It says in verse 18, they will walk after their own godly lusts, their own ungodly lusts. That's how they mock. God is not in their thoughts. He's not in their motives. God is not in their desires, even when it comes to things going on in the church. You know, there's a lot of churches that have been started, and they didn't have God in their mind at all. It was about, well, what would make people more comfortable to come to church? Or what kind of music do people want to listen to? Or what kind of place, what kind of building can we build? We want to break with tradition. We want to have ours in a movie theater and call it a movie theater church. You can eat your popcorn and all of these things. And guess what? God is not in their thoughts when they do those things. They're mockers. They're playing with Christianity. This is a sign of the time. And it is the last time. And really, living a life of mockery before God is far worse than just mocking with your words. But then we also see another description, and that is the division of the apostates. It goes on in verse 19, "These be they who separate themselves." These are people who create unbiblical divisions within the church. Now, there are some times in our churches where you do need to separate and make biblical separations based on doctrine. But I like what John Gill writes about these divisions. He says, "They separate themselves from the pure doctrines of the gospel, and they make divisions and separations among the churches for worldly ends and through pride, as if they were more knowing, more holy, and more spiritual than other men." It's really how it comes, what it comes down to. These divisions, these unbiblical divisions, are a sign of the time. And it is the last time. We also see the desires of these apostates there in verse 19. They are sensual. That word sensual simply means they're controlled by their own appetites and passions, their own impulses of their flesh. They live their lives like animals. It kind of echoes what he said in verse 10 when he called them natural brute beasts. How do you identify these people? Well, this is their philosophy. If it feels good, do it. Boy, that's the philosophy of our country. And that's becoming the philosophy of our churches. If it feels good, do it. There's no self-control. That is a sign of the time. And what we see is that it is the last time. And then we come down and we see that they have not the Spirit. This indicates the depravity of the apostates. The depravity. There is no self-control because there is no Spirit control. They do not have the Spirit of God within them, because they are not true members of the church. They're not believers. 2 Timothy 3:5 puts it this way, "They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof." And Paul says, "From such turn away." This is a sign of the time. And really, it's interesting, because this last sign, their depravity, is the source of all the other ones. If you look at 19, "Having not the Spirit," they're spiritually depraved, leads to a sensual lifestyle, which lead to divisions, which really is, in fact, living a life of mockery before God. These are the signs of the time. This is how we know it is the last time. Now, the other apostles, Peter and John and Paul, they add other signs that show us that it is the last time, but we need to keep looking for these signs. And even as Jesus said in Luke 21:28, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." These are signs that show us that we're getting closer home. Some, without the eyes of faith, are going to be overwhelmed and concerned and worried and fearful. He says, "Don't be afraid. I've overcome the world already." When all of these signs come through and you're getting closer and closer and closer, 300 miles turn to 200 miles, turn to 100 miles, turn to 50 miles, we don't know exactly when this end is going to be. But as these signposts come into our view, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So today I want us to remember that it is the last time. And there is more and more evidence and more signs out there for us to see if we have eyes to see. So what are you doing with your time now? What are you doing with your time knowing that it is the last time? Are you learning from the Lord more and more from His Word? That is our solution. He says, "Remember the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Scriptures that have been given to you by prophecy. Remember it. Hold on to it. Learn more about Him, because from that you get hope." Are you living for the Lord in this world? Or are you just living life like He's never going to come back? Are you looking for the Lord and His coming? Are you looking for it? You see, that's how we are to live. In fact, Jude tells us next, which we'll look at next Sunday, verses 20 and 21, "But ye, beloved, even after seeing all these signs, this is what you ought to do. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And may I add, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. It is the last time. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have, through Your Word, shown to us things that ought not take us by surprise, because they don't take You by surprise. And Lord, I thank You for instructing and inspiring Jude to share with all of us that it is the last time. And even though it seems like, from experience, that everything in the world continues on just like it always has, yet we're also instructed by Peter that that's the way the people thought before the flood. And look what happened. It took them by surprise. The whole world will be surprised at the coming of the Lord, and I pray that it may not be said of Your people, because it's been told to us over and over and over again by Peter and John and Paul and Jude. And of course, they're just reflecting the same message that Christ gave us there in the Gospels, how You're going to come again. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll help us to remember that You've given us the answer. You've given us the solution here in Your Word to help us through these times, to prepare by living the lives that You've called us to live in holiness, and then also living our lives with hope, looking unto and hasting to the coming of our Lord. So, Lord, I pray that You'll help us to live with that in view today, knowing that it is the last time. Help us not to be afraid of or surprised by the signs that we're seeing. The apostates that are in churches. The entire churches that have apostatized and turned their backs on the very gospel. Help us not to be surprised by that. Grieved, sure, but not surprised or anxious. But realize that that's just another sign. We're getting closer. And we must continue to draw closer to You. We must continue to share with others that it is the last time, no matter how crazy they must think we are, and continue to share the solution that we have been given through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, today and tomorrow and the next day, and no matter how many days You have given us left, to live knowing that it is the last time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.